Welcome into the latest edition of the PackersNews.com, JSOnline.com, Packers Podcast, Free Agent Frenzy Edition. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jim Ozarski, along with Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, PackersNews.com. It's a crazy day.
Yeah, I got my phone with me just in case. If there's some pauses, you know, it might be because they signed three more guys. And I'm trying to... follow it up.
Yeah, this is...
it's been crazy. Crazy morning. I've never covered anything like this other than when Reggie White signed in 1993.
Wow.
I'll never forget I was at the Y. This is way before the internet. And I was in the weight room. And all of a sudden over the, you know, speaker system, they had the radio on, and all of a sudden guy cuts in and says, the Packers have signed Reggie White. And I'm like, drop the weights, and I'm off. I'm not sure I even showered. I just ran to the office. And this was not much different. We woke up this morning, and NFL Network had tweeted about
Za'Darius Smith was the first one.
Yeah, and then it was off and running.
Yeah, it's, you know, we'll get into where these guys fit, but yeah, to run through really quick, Za'Darius Smith, linebacker from Baltimore, Preston Smith, linebacker from Washington, mm-hmm. Adrian Amos, safety from Chicago, mm-hmm. and Billy Turner, offensive lineman from Denver, swing lineman. You're right, this is not, the national reaction has been a little interesting because, again, from afar, this is not your father's Packers.
No.
And even locally, you're right, Tom, it's... you know, Packers fans, I think, kind of freaked out a little bit on Monday, the first day of the open negotiating period. And then here
hilarious.
They are on day two. Yeah.
People were ready to jump off tall buildings and all kinds of stuff. I was laughing with each one of them. I'm like, you know, actually, free agency hasn't started yet. You know, signings really aren't official till Wednesday. And so I got a good chuckle out of that. And now I'm certain they'll same people are ecstatic about free agency.
Yeah, it's I mean, at the very least, three starters on defense and a guy on offense who, if he's not starting, should be in the mix. You're paying a guy $7 million a year annually about to do something for you, right? And Billy Turner. So well, let's just start with the signings of the pass rushers, right? Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith. I mean, outside of the recently released Justin Houston and perhaps Trey Flowers. These were kind of the guys in terms of
Quan Alexander was in that in that mode.
More of an inside guy though, out of Tampa. Had torn an ACL coming off of I think just 3.5 sacks the last few years. But I mean, regardless, Preston Smith in terms of those outside
Dante Fowler another one.
So what's sort of the thought here, I mean, obviously big money within those first 3 years, but what are the Packers getting, or what was your initial takeaway to get these two bookends?
Well, so first of all, and I'll stick with this, before these signings had occurred, I was telling people that free agency is not a cure-all, and it's the record for free agents is not very good. The number of guys who've gone on to become Pro Bowl players is not high at all. I saw some statistic. I think it was like four guys in the last 7 years or some crazy number like that.
None last year.
Yeah. So, you know, what they do is they fill gaps in your team that you're not going to be able to fill in the draft. And I think that's what Gutekunst did. I think he did a really good job at doing that because he has two outside rushers and a safety taken care of now. Those are two positions that, you know, he still needs to get another safety, but it leaves him with at number 12 in the draft with the choice to do whatever he wants. He's not desperate for an edge rusher or defensive lineman.
Yeah, it definitely changes the tenor coming out of the combine where at 12 you kind of thought they were stuck to a degree.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, you were thinking, okay, who's the best edge rusher? That's who they're going to take. Now, you know, they could take the tight end, or they could take one of the two tackles. You know, they could take another defensive lineman. There's a lot of options there. I didn't answer your question. I kind of got sidetracked. But of those four guys, I like Preston Smith the most. I talked to a couple scouts about all those guys, and kind of the consensus was that Preston Smith has a big upside. He's a powerful guy. He's got a record of sacks. He didn't have a great year last year, but he was around the quarterback, and he's a really quality individual. I guess he's really a good locker room guy. So from that standpoint, I don't think they got him for a ton of money. I mean, it was fairly reasonable. Now, Za'Darius Smith, to me, is kind of a mystery. I think they overpaid him, and they're definitely basing it on this past year. And it's really funny. I actually decided, oh, I don't know this guy very well. So I went back and watched the Chargers-Ravens playoff game. I swear to God, this guy did not touch anybody the entire game. I'm looking for him to do something. I don't even know if he fell on the ground more than once or twice. He was getting blown off the line in the running game. But, you know, that's just one game. I'll go back and look at some others. But he had 8.5 sacks.
He did. And so I recall Za'Darius Smith a little bit from covering the AFC North the last, you know, three seasons, his tenure in Baltimore, really. And the thing I'm curious with him is I wonder if some of it is projection. I mean, it's all projection to a degree. I mean, mm-hmm. you're paying these guys for what they will do for you.
Right.
But, you know, in Baltimore, when he started, Elvis Dumervil was still getting attention. Terrell Suggs was still getting attention. Yeah. And then, you know, C.J. Mosley was still in the middle of the things there. And then actually, I think Baltimore chose Matthew Judon over Za'Darius Smith.
Yes. Yeah,
in terms
did.
Of the young linebackers that they thought, okay, is going to provide us pass rush. So, yes, you're right. 8.5 sacks, 5.5, 3.5. I mean, it's not great, but then again, I just named all the players who were in front of him for the better part of his career.
Well, an interesting thing I heard from one of the personnel guys was that the Ravens were constantly shopping him in the preseason. You know, I think the last 2 years they were, you know, because they had some depth there and thought they could get something for him, but nobody ever gave him what they wanted.
Yeah, and it is, you mentioned overpaid. So, you know, quickly, at least all reports, these will all become official Wednesday afternoon. We'll probably have a better idea of what the actual numbers are, not just what agents want us to know.
Yeah. But you have to be careful with that.
We're right about, so let's just go around numbers that people have seen. So 4 years, $66 million for Za'Darius Smith comes out to 16.5 annually, mm-hmm. which is more than Dee Ford's going to make on the franchise tag. Mm-hmm. More than what Justin Houston was slated to make before being released.
More than Dante Fowler. More,
Dante Fowler was a one-year up to $14 million deal. So he's in that, C.J. Mosley is making $17 annually, but he's a three-down sort of do-everything type of guy. So
well, and they had to fight to get him because the Ravens really wanted him back. That's why he got overpaid.
Right.
Because it was a battle of two teams raising the stakes. With this, I'd sure like to know whether there was anybody else involved or were the Packers negotiating against themselves.
Right. And Preston Smith, 4 years, $52 million, so it's about $13 million annually. So, look, those are, you know, in the marketplace, Tom, that's pass rush money. I mean, they're being paid to produce, not 19 sacks a year, that kind of crazy style number, but at least double digits?
In my mind, Za'Darius Smith is Nick Perry and Preston Smith is Clay Matthews. So Preston Smith didn't have as many sacks as Matthews, but he's a complete player. He can play the run. He's had some interceptions. You know, he can drop into coverage. I actually remember him from the game against the Packers this past fall, and he was all over the place.
He affects, as Mike Pettine likes to say, guys who affect the quarterback. I think Preston Smith fits that idea a little bit more. Yeah. If there's not a sack, he's around and at least creating some problems.
Right. I think they actually got a deal on him. Za'Darius Smith is a lot, not exactly like Perry. He's like Perry in this, that he had a good year in his contract year. And so now he's going to get paid. And that's exactly what happened to Nick Perry. Now, you would think the Packers would not fall for that again. But, you know, apparently they like what they saw. And one of the personnel guys I talked to, his team was interested, and they took a real long look. And he said it was really hard. You have to really study him to come away with what it is that attracts you to him. It doesn't flash on the screen. Okay.
Which is interesting.
It's more, you know, down after down. He played like 690 snaps. He rushes from the inside a lot on third downs. You know, he's not a splash player. You know, and like you said, playing opposite Suggs helps quite a bit. So we'll see. It sure seems like a lot of money for that for him, but you know, maybe there was a big push with another team.
Yeah, and on a related note, we've mentioned Nick Perry a few times, officially released.
Yep.
You know, a move many expected. I think for a while it was between Jimmy Graham and him, and or both, and Brian Gutekunst obviously squelched the Graham stuff at the combine. But it wasn't even both of them, because Preston Smith happened a little later on Tuesday afternoon, Tom. I think once Za'Darius Smith was signed, that writing was on the wall of, okay, Packers are going to need that, what, $4 million or so.
Yeah, 3-6.
Yeah, that cutting Nick Perry does. So moving one would-be pass rusher away, and they hope to get a couple other ones. So I guess where does this leave Clay Matthews? Because I know you reported at the combine that there was some mutual interest, but we're now hitting that third, fourth wave of free agency as people listen to this.
Yeah.
And that's where he's going to fall, isn't it?
Right, right. I mean, he may be an end of the week. He could be a week and a half. A lot of it will depend, but the edge rushers list is diminishing quickly. Yeah. And so he's probably getting close to next on the list. If I'm the Packers, I would consider bringing him back at a reasonable deal, $5 to $7 million, maybe 1 year, maybe 2 years, and see if he'd be willing to start inside. And then you have another option for him, you know, if one of your edge rushers gets hurt, which, God, we all know that happens in Green Bay all the time. You know, you've got another guy who can rush the passer. Plus, he's a good blitzer, good tackler. So I just don't think he wants to play that. But if he wants to come back to Green Bay, maybe they offer that to him.
It's, you mentioned how free agency fills holes. And I think, you know, on one hand, there's an excitement level. People can say, oh, the Packers are doing something. But at the end of the day, this is what happens when a team wins six games and misses the playoffs 2 years in a row. There's some serious roster issues here, right? So it's one of those things where usually, you know, the Patriots, for instance, they're not always a splash team.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if there's the Eagles or the Saints the last few years, they're sort of complementary pieces. So I think that'll be the interesting thing here is – okay, hey, they did make a splash, but how does it fit
right in
the bigger scheme? Can they buck the trend of recent free agency periods, which are, you know,
Yeah. The one thing that's similar to New England is New England, when they know they're going to lose a big-time player, they sign, trade for, get somebody who will play that position who's maybe an older guy. So they lost Trey Flowers. They traded for Michael Bennett. You know, that's not a bad swap. It's not Trey Flowers. It's not the young guy. But now you've got a spot there, and you draft a young guy. And it just cycles through. They're really good at that. And then they make a splash every once in a while. They sign Stephon Gilmore or trade for Brandon Cooks or Randy Moss or whatever it is, you know. So Gutekunst is kind of following that plan, and then he's going to try to complement everything with the draft. So it's not a bad idea. I just I really want to see how much money he spent and how much of it they're on the hook for in the future years.
Right. No, that is that is the big question, of course, because you don't want to hamstring yourself going forward. Well, so let's turn to Adrian Amos. Added the safety again, reportedly $37 million over 4 years, a little over $9 million a year. That puts him squarely in the top 10 of annually paid safeties in this league,
where he does not belong.
Yeah, you know, benefiting from Landon Collins in Washington making $14 million. So Amos, interesting, Tom. I talked to a few people in Chicago who basically said, look, he's a solid guy. Mm-hmm. He'll tackle. He'll be in the right spot. Very good locker room guy. Mm-hmm. Don't expect a lot of big plays,
right.
Which I thought was really interesting in that, you know, his first career interception came in 2017.
Yeah.
He's only forced three fumbles. They've been looking for playmakers on the back end, and they paid a lot of money, frankly, for a guy who just – it just sounds like he's a guy who won't screw up.
Yeah. I think he's like – he's better than Charlie Peppera, but he's like Charlie Peppera. He's that guy that you can put back there, and you need to have a really talented guy behind him because this guy will do all the dirty work. You know, he's going to be able to come up in the box, play the run. He's going to be, like you said, in the right position all the time. He's going to make the tackles. But he gets matched up one-on-one, and you're in trouble. You know, his coverage instincts aren't very good, and the record speaks for itself. I think he has what, three career interceptions?
Just three, only 18 passes defensed too. So he's now, granted, who knows what they were asked to do in Chicago for 4 years, but still, though, it's you're not around the ball enough to get your hands on.
Right. So Gutekunst still has to shop around, I think, for a safety. Try to get a deal if Eric Berry gets cut late. Maybe they find some kind of incentive-laden deal to bring him in. Probably you're going to have to draft somebody. I don't think that other starter is on the roster right now.
I don't think so either. And I will say, if there's one thing that you – or one position you can maybe find that other guy, it would be safety. I mean, some of the big names did come off the board, but there are a lot of guys who have played a lot of football, who can still get around, but you could probably get for $900,000 to $1.2 million. Now, that said, we found out last year how valuable being in the right spot can be for this defense, because early in the year, Kentrell Bryce and Ahad Clinton-Dix had how many problems with being in the wrong position and missing calls, and it really affected this team. So maybe what they valued was Adrian Amos will be where he's supposed to be all the time. And whether or not he fills up the stat sheet, that's worth $9 million to Mike Pettine.
Yeah, he's Ibrahim Campbell with more talent. So he's that guy that Pettine can throw out there and say, all right, I don't need to worry about that, I'll worry about these young corners, or help these young corners. He can design whatever he wants for that guy every week, and he'll do it. That's not a bad thing to have. That's a good thing to have. I want to see the contract, too. $9 million, it could be backloaded to where, half of it is in the last 2 years, so it's not that big. But we'll see about that. But if he's a four-year starter, then $7 million will be more than worth it.
Right. And, Billy Turner is the one that's going under the radar because, quite frankly, Tom, unless you're Trent Brown or Kevin Zeitler or Andrew Norwell last few years, if you're the guy who makes NFL history with your contract, frankly, that's why you're offensive lineman, right? You go under the radar. So Billy Turner, interesting guy. $7 million, again, roughly $7 million a year, if you will. Quick history lesson. Interesting background. North Dakota State, drafted in the third round by Miami, started 12 games at right guard in 15, and then Adam Gase got fed up with him and two other linemen in 16 and cut him after 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
you know, was coming off the bench. I think Tannehill got sacked six times in one game, and Adam Gase just said, okay, you guys are out. Mm-hmm. Briefly in Baltimore for about 5 days. Mm. He was claimed. Milt Hendrickson perhaps had a role in that. Mm-hmm. Roster issues in Baltimore, released again, has been in Denver ever since. Sort of a swing guy. He has started games, if people look him up, but it's always been off the bench due to an injury someone.
Exactly.
So it's a decent contract, Tom, but you and I were talking off air that this maybe not penciling in him right away at starting right guard.
No. I would think that, you know, they told him it's your job to lose. He fits what Matt LaFleur wants to do. He's not a, you know, a upper body heavy guy. He's a light-footed guy who can run that wide zone, and or they feel like they can teach him the wide zone, one or the other, and is an okay pass blocker. So he's a guy that, you know, somewhere out of the him, Jason Spriggs, I think we can rule out Cole Madison. I don't know if we're ever going to see him. McCray, Lucas Patrick, and whoever they draft. There you go. There's, you know, your right guard and maybe your right tackle out of that.
Yeah.
And there you go. You just go from there. So if he starts, then that's terrific for them. Then it's a good, really good signing.
Yeah, they clearly have a lot of faith in new offensive line coach Adam Stenovich and assistant O-line coach Luke Butkus.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Turner also fits that mold of, okay, he's got experience, he's started, but yet there's a projection going forward to coach and teach him to do certain things. Because you're right. I mean, I guess you don't want to pay $7 million to just have a guy who might play six games because some other guys got hurt.
Yeah. Wouldn't you like to know, and Gutekunst might answer this when we get a chance to talk to him, where did they first – was this a guy they wanted to draft and they followed him after that? Because they're sort of picking him out of nowhere. I mean, not a full-time starter in Denver. Denver's the best player on Denver's line, well, at least in free agency, was Matt Paradise, who signed with the Jets, I think, or I can't remember who. So, I mean, he's not like this top of the list guy. So they must have seen something in him somewhere. Someone had a connection with him somewhere.
Right. Maybe it was Hendrickson to a degree where,
Could have been.
That brief time in Baltimore, they must have, you know, Gutekunst, you know, said that he did not hire Milt because he has this offensive line background. Packers don't scout that way, but Baltimore did.
He poo-pooed that, and just probably not to upset his other scouts.
Right.
But Baltimore clearly said that in his bio.
They did.
That he was in charge of offensive line, and they had some darn good offensive linemen over the years.
Right.
So, yeah, you got to think he had a hand in it.
Right. And so, you know, as you're listening to this, either late Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever this may be, maybe other moves have been made and whatnot. But I guess, you know, going forward, what else could the Packers be looking for? I don't believe they're done to a degree. I think we mentioned safety. You know, you're going to be able to find some minimum-ish players out there. You know, I don't know if receiver fits that. You know, Randall Cobb is still out there. I know they spoke with Cole Beasley's people at one point and realized, you know, pass rush line took a little more precedent.
Yeah.
Cole Beasley's off to Baltimore, or Buffalo's, but they might be in the – I mean, is Randall Cobb an option coming back? Is that market craters?
Maybe.
Are they looking for a slot guy?
Maybe. I tend to think that he's not coming back, but that they've made that decision. But I don't know that for a fact.
Yeah.
That's just kind of my gut. But there's a few slot guys left. So Cole Beasley signed with, I can't remember.
Buffalo. Along with John Brown.
Yeah, John Brown. I thought he might be a guy they would consider. Who's the guy? Adam Humphries signed with somebody.
Yeah.
And then Jamison Crowder,
who was
probably the best slot available.
The one name, I guess, I'm interested in is Tavon Austin because he was in L.A. that first year with the McVay, LaFleur, that whole deal going on.
That's a good point.
And you know, he ends up in Dallas, and you know, interestingly enough, Jerry Jones is sitting on the sidelines this first time around. So, so I'm curious there. The Packers have, you know, we mentioned Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb. A guy that's still waiting for his money is Bashaud Breeland.
Mm-hmm.
A year ago this time, he had a $24 million deal, 11 guaranteed.
Yeah.
Freak foot injury wiped that out. I'm a little curious. I mean, you think...
I think he should be their priority at this point. They're going to have to pay him some, I think. But he's a slot corner, and those guys don't grow on trees. And we found out that Jair Alexander is better outside than he is inside, or, you know, he seemed to play better outside than inside. And Josh Jackson doesn't have the foot speed to be an inside guy. So, I think Breland is a guy they really need to bring back. So maybe they haven't budgeted.
Yeah.
Who knows? And they just want to take care of these first. He's not a big priority because the corners haven't even really started much, have they?
There's been a few. So Kareem Jackson is probably the biggest name from Houston to Denver, making $11 million a year. And then a Justin Coleman, who people might be like, who is that? Well, he's a slot corner. He's making $36 million. Now, one of the highest paid slot corners in the league. So that's been... That money shifted a little bit, too, as the offenses have changed.
Yeah, and Bradley Roby just signed, too. So there's three guys off the board. Breland's getting closer to his area. So, I think that, to me, that's a really important position, an important free agent for them to re-sign. And, in fact, it may be, of the unrestricted guys, the only guy that I would, go after. Now, they have two restricted guys, Geronimo Allison and Kentrell Bryce, and they have the same issue with both of these guys, which is they have injuries that are, how would we put it, injuries waiting to happen?
Yeah, troublesome?
Yeah, like, you know, they don't want to get stuck paying $2 million and the guy... Geronimo Allison pulls his abductor muscle or tears it again on the first day of training camp. And Bryce has that ankle issue. You know, he had it operated on and then still wasn't very good last year, the ankle. So those are tough decisions. I'm sure they're trying to negotiate, injury protection. Otherwise, they might let him go. I don't know. So we'll know that.
Soon.
At noon.
Yeah. So, it's,
3 o'clock, excuse me.
Right. And, you know, the rest of the Packers, you know, go to PackersNews.com. We have a tracker. The rest of, you know, guys like Antonio Morrison and Ibrahim Campbell and, you know, kind of your low-level bottom of the roster guys that
Byron Bell.
Not that they don't matter, but, you know, in this scheme of things, you know, when you look at the top end,
these are deals that'll get done like in June or May or something, or maybe after the draft, you know, when they figure out where they're at and what they have. But it is going to be a really interesting draft. I kind of think this opens the door for Gutekunst to get more picks and use that 30 to maybe move back and get a couple more picks, because now they have starters at the positions they needed starters. They might be able to get one more starter, but, you know, they could also use depth. And so being a really good draft, maybe this has given him a chance to be able to trade back and get more picks.
Right. I think most personnel people in this league would say you don't want to go into free agency or the draft. Yes, you want to fill needs, but you don't want to be pigeonholed or have agents or other teams know you want one specific position, because it only drives up the price, or it only, you know, come draft day, that means people could leap over
jump
you
over
and things like that. So you're right. I think, I know some Packers fans think the tight end at 12, or as you said, you mentioned offensive tackle. I mean, I do think it does open up a lot if Brian Gutekunst feels draft-wise there's, say, a group of eight that he thinks are elite and the quarterbacks don't go, or someone moves up and takes, and then he's like, oh, well, you know what, at the next seven mm-hmm. are about the same. So we can move back, move down. It does give him that flexibility, which, you know, quite frankly, if you're going to try to fix this team and get it going in the right direction sooner rather than later.
Yeah. I'd be careful with the number 12 pick, though, because that's right on the edge of where the talent goes. I don't think I would deal that under any circumstances. I would use that pick, take the best guy that's on your board,
whoever it is,
even if he's a quarterback, yeah. and try to get more picks out of that 30th pick.
Yeah.
You know, it could be interesting. What if Montez Sweat or Brian Burns are sitting there at 12, two edge rushers, you know, and they just signed two guys? Shoot, I would take them anyway. You can't have too many of those guys.
No, I don't. No, I'd agree, and that's the thing. I mean, it'd be one thing to say, wow, Preston Smith never missed a game. So Darius Smith doesn't have as much mileage due to his use in Baltimore, but it is football.
Mm.
And you're right. I mean, A, you can't have enough of those guys. You can't have enough corner guys, in my opinion.
Right.
Cover guys. You know, we'll throw this out here just because the Packers were discussed when it comes to Mark Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
They were in that conversation. I believe as we record this, that has since settled. ESPN tossed the Packers into the Le'Veon Bell thing. That, at this point, as we record this, might seem like that might have been Le'Veon Bell hoping somebody would call him.
Yeah.
But to be in the conversation, it's kind of like the slot receiver, and you're poking around at running back. So clearly they were looking for some other upgrades offensively. So what do you think?
Sure. What if Preston Smith didn't come through and they lost out on him? And what if they lost yeah. out on Za'Darius Smith? You know, their option could have been, well, we need an impact player and we'll go for Le'Veon Bell, you know, and see what the price is. But I think what you were going to say was it worth it to go for a running back at that age and his situation? I'd be leery.
Yeah.
I'd be leery. He is a really good player, or was. So I don't know what a year off has done
right.
to him, you know?
Yeah, and Mark Ingram coming up on year 9, almost, I think, I counted up almost 1,500 NFL touches. So,
yeah.
you know, if the Packers are looking for running back depth, I mean, Bell might have been one end of it. You're right. A guy like Ingram, to me, would have been a more complimentary piece for Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
Which maybe indicates...
I think he would have been a solid yeah. signing. I really do. The Packers loved him when he came out, and New Orleans jumped in front of him and took him. So... I'm sure they still love him. But, yeah, I don't think it's an absolute necessity. I think the offensive line is more important than running back. You know, Aaron Jones, yeah, he might get hurt again. Jamal Williams will never get hurt because he's just a machine.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you good offensive lines can make running, you know, average running backs look pretty good.
Right. We opened this podcast, Tom, by you saying this was, you know, unlike anything you've covered
yeah.
with this Packers team. It's quite frankly, even coming from where I did before, these types of days are usually reserved for the East Coast,
mm-hmm.
maybe Texas,
yeah.
and Oakland,
yeah.
you know? So on one hand, if you're a Packers fan, it's like, wait a minute. I don't know if I want to be associated with those teams if you look at the track records. However, I'm not going to ask you to do any grades or anything like that. It's way too early. That said, though, surprised at all with this approach, or generally speaking, how do you feel the day went or this collection of talent you know, we'll rate for Brian Gutekunst and the Packers.
Okay, the only thing that's the two things that surprised me was that they signed four guys in one day, or agreed to terms with four guys in one day. That's you know, unprecedented for the Packers. The other is that they signed two edge rushers. I figured they'd try to sign one, Preston Smith or Za'Darius Smith,
yeah.
and they went ahead and just went for two. That's the big surprise to me. So in a sense, they did protect themselves, you know, by going for two instead of one. If one of them doesn't pan out, maybe the other one does, and it's a good free agency. So, you know, and then Amos was not a big surprise. You knew they were going to have to get a safety. They absolutely had to get a safety. And the way they were, you know, the lack of safeties they had, they're going to have to overpay to get somebody, and that's what they did.
Yeah, and I think for some fans, I know, wondering, hey, what about a Landon Collins or Earl Thomas, who's still available as we record this, or Tyrann Mathieu? I mean, look, those guys are being paid more or about the same as Preston Smith. And to me, look, you pay for pass rush, you pay for corners.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
While those guys are good players in their own right, you know, I don't think safety should be worth that much, and clearly the Packers didn't either.
No, and so you'd rather have some reliable guys, and your talent should be at corner, and that's where the focus of their talent is, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so it's what a day.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see the defense. It's obvious that Gutekunst wanted to get that settled, and that he wants to build on what they built up, you know, built up last year. And, you know, that could be – well, that'll almost certainly be the strength of their team.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I think if you shift back offensively, you know, by keeping Jimmy Graham – and we'll see. Obviously, they will add talent to that offensive
mm-hmm.
room.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what that is. You know, but no Antonio Brown, as far as we know, no Le'Veon Bell. I mean, they chose to not go that route. It seems more complimentary at this point. You know, offensive linemen, of course, are never going to be sexy, as we said. So, yeah, it'll be...
That's the way to do it,
yeah.
I think, in my mind.
You've got a quarterback, clearly, that they feel can help elevate. It, you know, you add a slot guy. I mean, again, is Tavon Austin going to move the meter? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But adding someone like that... I mean, clearly, they believe in the quarterback and the system, but
yeah.
Rely on the defense in 2019.
Yeah, we'll see. There's more parts to be added. The only thing I left for me with this is to see whether they overpaid.
Yeah.
And that'll take a little digging, but, you know, we might be able to find that out. So.
Yeah, well, we, of course, go to PackersNews.com, JSOnline.com, subscribe and download the Packers News app. And obviously, for those of you who have it, thank you. I'm sure you had the notifications on. You know, Tom's in your pocket, buzzing
mm-hmm.
you in the 8 o'clock this morning, whatever it may be. So make sure you get all that. We have that tracker up, stories, everything you need to know about the Packers and what they're doing this free agency period. You know, there's no better place to find it. So for Tom, I am Jim. We will see you next time.
See ya.